What is happening at Onchan District Commissioners? Prompted by comments made by Commissioner Anthony Allen at the recent AGM, Onchan MHK Julie Edge doesn't hold back on her thoughts over the behaviour of some of the commissioners. We'll hear shortly from Anthony Allen and David Quirk the cause of the criticism responds later in the programme. But first, Julie Edge.
So I try to attend most of the meetings, Phil, and particularly the annual general meeting to see who's elected to go forward for, you know, as our chair and vice chair and the various leads for each of the areas for the year. I have to say that I haven't seen any improvement, certainly in the last 2 to 3 years, the deterioration in conduct and behaviours of commissioners. Is just unbelievable and totally not appropriate for representing the people of Onchan. So therefore, you do need a strong chair to lead that and get us out of that.
Fairly strong what you're saying there. Basically, you're saying the conduct of commissioners is not appropriate.
Well, for an example. No officers attend any of the meetings, and the chief executive officer will not allow any of his officers to attend the meetings until he feels that the conduct and behaviour of commissioners has improved. So I think that's the example that I will use, that there's no officers present other than the chief executive officer. I don't know whether you see that at any other areas of local authority, but certainly I've witnessed the behaviours challenge. There has to be challenge, completely get challenged. There's professional challenge, and then there's challenge that's just, oh, let's move on, and attitudes like that. Well, actually, no, people are there to represent the ratepayers of Onchan. I'm a ratepayer of Onchan. I go as a ratepayer of Onchan and I expect to be represented in a professional manner with good leadership, good governance, good conduct, and accountability. And I'm not seeing anything actually coming forward for Onchan other than the odd events that are on, or they'll be just looking at a government paper. There's nothing really coming forward. However, there was challenge over lead members not actually preparing things appropriately for budgets. That's key. You know, that if the lead member of whichever area, whether it's environment or you know, doing that role, if they then come to ask for money out of reserves mid-year, there's something not working right. And certainly I worked at Onchan Commissioners, Phil. It was a job I had before I went to the MEA. And certainly that was under Eddie Smith, one of the previous clerks. It was a very well-run authority, very professional commissioners. And the paperwork and the projected strategies going forward were always there, and I'm not seeing any evidence of that now. And it's a shame, because Onchan's a great place to live. I'd love it to be a great place to work for the people in the local authority, working with our commissioners for the best for the people of Onchan and the rates that we pay for services.
And Onchan is, as I understand it, second behind Douglas in terms of the number of population. People that it serves. So it's quite surprising to hear that the relationship between officers and politicians has broken down to the extent that only one officer, the chief officer, attends the meetings.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, I try and encourage the public to attend. I'm speaking to people saying, please attend, please get interested, please come forward next year when there's an election, because we do need good people representing the authority. And at the minute, I'm not saying that they're not representing, they're not good people representing, but we need experience. We need people that turn up on time, meetings starting on time, chaired well. And actually, I think the comments that was made by the Mayor of Douglas today on the radio, community engagement's key, representing, and it's important for good leadership to keep the morale of the district and the authority going forward. And I think that really is key. Obviously the chair that's been re-elected this year, Zara, don't disagree, she's doing her best. She said she'll do her best. However, there was criticism from one of the fellow commissioners that she's not been turning up to things and that she has a duty to the people of Onchan to turn up for things. So she said she will do better. Last year, when she was elected, she said she was focusing on children and school visits, and it was clear when that would come out this year, when she was asked, that she hasn't had time to do that. So I think it's commitment to the people of Onchan, to the ratepayers, that you take on a very responsible role. Don't be naive about it. It's hard work and you have to be committed and put the time in.
Commissioners on the whole are primarily unpaid. I mean, some get a relatively small allowance, some claim that allowance, but it's nowhere near you wouldn't get the minimum wage out of it compared with the amount of work that you have to put in as a commissioner. Is that something, particularly on the larger authorities, that maybe ought to change? I don't know.
I think we do need change throughout local authorities. I think you know, part and parcel of our alliance really is that we see that there needs to be clear direction for the local authorities on the best way to operate, making sure that they're all funded fairly, that there's less bureaucracy and red tape from government, and get the local authorities working for the people locally with the services that they provide. So I think, yes, I do agree with that. I'm not sure what training anybody gets in that role, but it's clear to me it was always seen as a stepping stone to MHK. Certainly what I see in the Onchan Commissioner's boardroom, they're in for a shock if they think they could be in MHK. You know, people arrive with their packs and they've not even opened them. So they're just open and reading them there and then in the meeting. So my big concern for the people and ratepayers of Onchan is governance, making sure we're being represented well, officers can work with the commissioners, and that it's not just a talking shop. It needs to be a good authority.
And I mean, you say that, but at least one of the commissioners in Onchan was an MHK and served the people for two, possibly three terms.
I think it was two terms. It was 10 years, wasn't it? Obviously, didn't get back in 2016 when I did. Certainly, from my experience of attending the meetings recently, some of the behaviour is very unprofessional. I'm not sure if that happened. You know, certainly when they were in Tumwald, I'm sure Steve Roden would have pulled the behaviours up. But this is why you need a strong chair, strong lead, to make sure that you can gel that board and make them work for the best of Onchan. Certainly, with regards to, there's a massive divide, but it is clear also that there is possibly some influences that people listen because they think ex-MHK, they actually know the right way to do things. There's a lot not happening that's correct. Certainly conflicts are not getting declared, and I think that basic governance and good democratic process is not being adhered to. Can't blame them necessarily if they're not getting good guidance and good leading, whether they actually understand the role.
They will, though. I mean, they have a professional staff that work for the commissioners. Surely to goodness, they'll be giving the necessary advice, ensuring that the commissioners comply with the necessary legislation. Surely that is happening.
I'm sure that is happening, but it still seems that it's the clerk sole responsible, which, quite rightly, you know, the clerk should be given that guidance and that. But if you've got commissioners that officers can't work with, and they clearly can't go to the meetings and be represented, it is concerning. And I've always said we need to find out what's going on in that boardroom. I attend to try and find out, but you're only seeing what happens on that event. And I'd encourage more of the public to attend to make sure they can see what's happening, that it's got to be a more transparent process. They all went in saying they wanted transparency. I'm not seeing transparency. Everything's getting moved into private. And, you know, that was happening previously. And I understand why they've all stood and said, we don't want that. However, the minute they're in the job, they've continued doing that. I'm not against having recordings at the commissioners, you know, whether it should be videoed, because some of the actions that you see, perhaps the video recordings would allow the people of Onchan to see. But, you know, ratepayers are busy. They should know that they're getting represented well with good governance, good structures, and that they're being represented professionally with commissioners that are turning up representing the community of Onchan, and the ratepayer is getting good value for money.
The government had its listening to you exercise, which was all about listening to what the public had to say. I think you think that that's a good thing. And yet, you know, the public elected the commissioners in Onchan. So in a way, it's quite an extraordinary thing to admit that some officers feel that they can't work with the people who have been appointed or elected by the public of Onchan. Surely to goodness, it isn't, you know, this isn't an optional thing. If you are employed by a public body, you have to work with the public representative.
I think there's been a lot of, obviously we've lost a few clerks along the way as well, and that's, although that's been done quite publicly, but then obviously non-disclosure agreements probably reached, people can then not continue to speak out, but it's not getting any better. I think we've lost two clerks. You know, this clerk has taken it himself to say until it changes. So should the Department of Infrastructure be stepping in? And I think this is where, you know, we should perhaps be looking at the legislation and the policy direction for local authorities and making sure across the board this is the expectations of the local authorities. And, you know, if you elect somebody to represent you, this is what you can expect, and ensure that all these services are in place and well paid for and invested in. We need more collaboration, more of the regional approaches. I do feel that Onchan has always stayed outside of that. I understand why they've thought that's for the best, but having been housing representative on DOI, is it for the best or the right people getting the services they need and getting housed as quickly as possible by doing that? Onchan's housing stock, it's reasonable, it's good. Does it need investment? We know it does. The sheltered accommodation definitely needs investment. I know they've got a petition in for investment. So that is progress, but it's just a refurb. Maybe we need some bigger thinking as to how we can develop Onchan. Quite restricted land-wise, but there's a lot of opportunity.
Part of your role as a constituency MHK, obviously, is to work in the best interests of your constituents. And it would appear to many that the best way to, or one of the important things that you have to do, at least as a constituency MHK, is work with the local authority in the area that you represent. It does sound as though that relationship is not a particularly healthy one at the moment.
No, I certainly work with some of the commissioners and certainly the chair. You know, I've had many a conversation with her. Outside of that, I don't really see. I see the commissioners that are there in the village. You bump into them, you see them at events. But certainly, there is an ex-MHK that would completely ignore you. He has actually been quite rude to the public in meetings and made disparaging remarks, in my opinion. And I know that Brian Stoll attends some of the meetings, and he's certainly raised it many times on the local radio. And I think that's the problem. We should all respect each other in that room. There are other residents go. And, you know, certainly if there's something contentious, if there's a conflict, if you're aware that you're involved in something, you should be declaring it, and you should be declaring your conflicts and being honest in that boardroom. And certainly that's a concern for people that do attend the meetings. I've actually seen recorded in minutes wrong information. I've challenged it with the chair, and nothing's changed. And I find that quite wrong. And I don't know why that's not happened, because it should be fully represented for the people of Onchan and recorded appropriately. You don't always get replies to emails, and you have to push for them. You know, again, you know, Phil, you're a clerk. You would expect any of your local representatives to be responding to people. And, you know, you have to find ways to work for the best of Onken. Great relationship with the clerk and officers, so I can always get things done and achieved that way. But the commissioners represent the whole of Onken. Myself and Rob, as the MHKs, we only represent the Onken constituency, but there's an awful lot of our people in Garth, and surprising how many people from Garth contact you about local issues, and you deal with them because you have to. So,
Onken MHK Julie Edge. After the break, we hear from Onken Commissioners Anthony Allen and David Quirk. Anthony Allen sparked this debate with his comments at last week's Onken District Commissioners AGM. What prompted him to speak out?
Well, an MHK used two words in a sentence that caught my attention. Much to my surprise, the words breathtakingly incompetent wasn't a reference to some members of the board. I was concerned ahead of the voting that was going to take place at the AGM that all of the members of the board that were present acknowledged that as public servants, we abide by the seven Nolan principles. The first of those principles is selflessness, and holders of public office should act solely in terms of the public interest. And I have called out and held people to account for a number of years, because if they fall short of that, and if they fall short of the other six principles, integrity, objectivity, accountability, openness, honesty and leadership, then they must be held to account. Ahead of the AGM, I didn't feel that from a previous meeting those words had been heeded, and the response that I received was that they'd fallen on cloth ears, and that's not good enough. And I was speaking up for the ratepayers of Onken because I want the ratepayers of Onken to have the best team possible doing the best job possible for them. And for the last couple of years, I've not seen that. As a commissioner, as a serving commissioner, and somebody who has been the chair of the commissioners previously, also been the vice chair, the lead member of finance, and also the lead member for housing, I've held all of the posts bar one, which is environmental and technical. So I'm speaking from a position of a good track record and experience. And I was saying to the other people around that table, if you haven't got a good track record, if you've made numerous mistakes and you've not accounted for those mistakes, it would be wrong to put yourself forward and use the opportunity in a way that is selflessness, and a way where it's not appropriate to expect the ratepayers of Onken to allow you to use it as a training ground for your own experience. They deserve better than that.
There's one particular commissioner that you have concerns about, isn't there?
There is not just one. I like to think that I'm fair and balanced, and I don't have a personal axe to grind with any commissioner. On a level playing field, I treat everybody the same. If they come up to standards, you know, if they step up to the plate on basic things like attendance, punctuality, serving the people of Onken when they're called upon to do so, then I've prided myself in being balanced and fair to everyone. If one commissioner seems to feel that he has had more of the heat than the others, he perhaps to look at to himself as to why that is and why he has never apologised for any of his wrongdoings, has never admitted that he's done wrong. And I think that the ratepayers of Onchan, who know, because all of this is documented in public minutes, that costing them unnecessary money in these difficult times is not acceptable.
Surely David Quirk, I mean, he's been at MHK for 10 years. He's back in the commissioners again now. He's served the people in Onchan for many, many years. Does he not understand how to conduct himself in public life? Is this what you're suggesting?
There's hard evidence that this is the case. It was even hard for me when I first came into contact with David in a professional capacity to not give him the respect of anyone that's been elected twice to the House of Keys and been elected as a commissioner. And like any reasonable person, I thought he must have a lot to offer and he must know what he's doing. But up close and personal, that is not the case. You know, he's a man that has a lot to say, but not a lot of substance. Sometimes what he says is inaccurate, and sometimes what he says could have been said in a better way. But that is the tip of the iceberg. It's all the goings on a daily basis that have happened since he was pre-elected to Onchan commissioners. And I've not seen one single example of where I could say, well done, David, or you've done a great job, David, or I respect you for that, David. Not a single one.
And yet he topped the poll in the Onchan commissioners election, didn't he?
Well, let's be straight about this, Phil. You know, in a local election, the people that vote are a minority group. You know, approximately 3 out of 10 eligible voters actually vote. Is that democratic? You know, maybe that's a debate for another day. Yes, we can't argue that he does well. He's a well-known figure. He's involved with a number of well-known organisations. There's debate as to what his real contribution of late has been to those organisations. But certainly he's been around for a long time and, you know, he's gone under the radar in a lot of cases. This is not a personal vendetta against David Quirk. I haven't got an axe to grind with him. But it is intolerable to allow somebody that behaves in the way he's behaved to accept that and just sweep it under the carpet. You know, when I got elected, I like to think that I got elected because I'm experienced and knowledgeable and competent, and I do expect people to certainly come up to a standard. And David, to my mind, has not done that.
You mentioned that David Quirk seems to have cost the people of Onchan money. Can you expand a little bit more on that?
Again, this is an example that is documented. There is evidence here that he put a data subject access into the local authority because he thought there was some conspiracy against him. That investigation was a very costly and time-consuming exercise for the staff to undertake. At the end of that investigation, which was done thoroughly and without any bias, the only person that was found of any wrongdoing was David Quirk. He basically shot himself in the foot by asking for the information in the first place. The information that came out had to be reported to the Information Commissioner and the police. And today, David has never acknowledged his guilt or offered an apology.
So how do you solve this issue? Because it does seem to me, as someone who doesn't live in Onchan, trying to put myself in the shoes of someone who did, you've got what appears to be an insolvable breakdown in terms of relationship between some of the commissioners, as well as with Julie Edge, MHK for Onchan as well. How do you collectively work together for the best interests of the people of Onchan from this situation?
Well, at the AGM, as you'll have seen, I took the post of lead member for finance, which is an important position because finance touches all corners of all activity within the authority. It's a role that I've done previously and a role that I did well previously. So I will do my level best to ensure that some of the mistakes that have happened previously are not repeated, and that I will give it the commitment that is necessary to ensure that for the next 12 months we take the authority forward and not backwards. In terms of a solution, you're quite right. It's an irretrievable breakdown, as I've said previously. And the whole purpose of this, in line with Julie Edge MHK, is really to put this information out there to the general public and for the general public to make a note of it in their mind and make their own inquiries. As I say, there's a lot of evidence that is available to the public in the minutes of the commissioners' meetings. And when it comes to the election, which isn't too far away, they can decide whether or not David's telling the truth or whether or not they feel that David's contribution, be as it may, has run its course.
That was Onchan Commissioner Anthony Allen. David Quirk topped the poll in the last Onchan Commissioner's election, so how does he respond to the criticism? Presumably, you're surprised to learn that one of your MHKs and certainly one of your fellow commissioners have been pretty vocal in terms of criticism. I mean, how do you respond to the charge or the suggestion that you effectively are the cause of this ban on officers being allowed to speak to the commissioners?
That, Phil, is a misnomer, actually. When I first got back in again in the by-election, of course, as you do, you always ask for back minutes, what's been happening in private. It opens your eyes up. I can't discuss quite a lot of it because they're virtually sealed, and as the clerk subsequently left, and there was some staffing issues in there, which did reflect internally, but not me, because I wasn't even there then. But you get dragged into these issues. And if I could say to you, I'm surprised when he says one commissioner. I think there's two commissioners don't like me. I've always said to them, they'll never get a Christmas card from me. And I don't mind naming them, and they'll come back at me all the time, is Anthony Allen and Derek Crellin.
And of course, you don't have to like each other.
No.
What you have to do is work with each other.
Yeah. And prove a point to them that if we need to move on in a vibrant local authority and a local authority that wants to get things done in these hard times with government, and it's not getting any easier to engage with government and say to them, look, local authorities are entitled to do this, that and the other, and you're letting us down because we're keeping up to our deal, but you're not keeping up to your element of the deal. And I think at the time, it was the joint working when you were minister at the time at the DOI, where there was partnership, where things were to be done. And I looked at it really as they were just trying to dump stuff on the rates instead of putting it on the taxes.
And it's not for me to defend what I did politically some years ago.
No, you were fine. I'll put that comment down for you.
but I mean, do you understand perhaps where some of the criticism is coming from? Because there was a fairly, damning statement read out by Anthony Allen at the recent AGM.
It wasn't actually. I expected it because he's done it before. And he did it the last time we elected Zara as chairman. And I need to look at, they keep saying standing orders allows this to happen. In all my life, as a trade unionist and a local authority member originally, and then into Parliament is, the AGM's a clean thing where you just propose who the chairman is. Okay, there may be a vote on who that person should be. And it seems strange to me, and I'm not comfortable with it, where it's a secret ballot. And I don't mind saying I proposed Zara, to tell you the truth, to move things forward, because I want to see the younger element. And I'm really worried, never mind about national government, the local authorities themselves, where we're struggling to get people to commit to their community.
One of the criticisms that Julie Edge seemed to have was that you had too much influence over the younger members. Is that the case?
No. They're quite strong. If I could say the younger members are... there's about three of them, maybe, on there. No. I think what's done in the last year, gone, when they first got elected the first time round, it's not what they maybe wanted or expected. And you've got to put a bit of time in, and you meet people in the street. I mean, it's not a week that doesn't go by when I'm chairman of the Pensioners Club or president of the football club. Everybody asks you questions. And normally, 99% of them, it's not about the village. It's about the government. What is our government doing to us? Does our government care? I'm not a hermit. I don't live in a shell. And when I say, and I get accused of being on Manx Radio every week, it's not the first time I was on. It was this Friday.
And I should say, having steered the Man in Line occasionally in recent months, yeah, it's great to have voices on the Man in Line. And if you choose to ring, then if people don't like the sound of your voice on the Man in Line, well, they need to.
Well,
ring
that's
as
it.
Well.
And I'm tired of people. Can I just put this to bed too? I've never voted for Julie. I don't think she's done us any good being our constituency MHK. And she knows that. And there's no love lost between each other there. So any opportunity, she'll want to have a go at me. And send me letters asking me to see if I've got any photographs of her. But that's another another time. The answer's no. I've got nothing on her. And
So then, I mean, trying to keep this fluid on the sort of the commissioners thing. There were obvious tensions. I mean, there seemed to be ongoing for several terms of commissioners tensions, either between commissioners and the clerk and various issues that have occurred. How does this get resolved? Because it doesn't seem as though this is simmering down. It's simmering up, if anything.
Well, it's when, and there is a standing order, and I can't remember off the top of my head, because I'm typical now. I used to be government bringing a book in and standing orders, and you try it and you just say to the chair or the clerk, you're not supposed to bring historical issues which have been dealt with back.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have certain commissioners or local authority members who want to drag it back to where it was or in the old days or before he even came back into the commissioners. You know, I'm not a bad person. I mean, I can't be a bad person, can I, Phil? When I put myself forward and people come out to take an opportunity the first time in the winter, 2001, in October, it was freezing, to vote for me. And then the general election as such for the local authorities in July, let me just think, 21.
Yeah.
Where we all got in. There were seven of us that got in, you know. And if one of the other candidates would have pulled, shouldn't say that, did a little bit more work, they would have got in. When you look at the figures. And I don't know whether it is because they, and I think it's probably because they don't like me, but I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, I'm there to do a job. I'm there to try and enhance the village. I'm going to try to encourage the businesses to stay in the village, because that's what local authorities are for. Sometimes we have to increase the rates because you've got to pay wages. We have the, I'm going to say it, I think we've got the best bin system in the world in Onchan. Wonderful. And at the minute, what worries me on the Isle of Man, it's not just us as a local authority, it's everywhere else. We can't get staff. Everybody wants to be a computer whiz, or everybody wants, nobody wants to be a gardener anymore, a refuse collector, which carries good wages, pensions, and, you know, can last forever. So I don't know. And I've never had a discussion with Miss Edge on it. Only that I know the first time round when the by-election was on, she signed the other person's papers. And that's fine with me. I'm happy enough if you don't like me. But there's all this social media in the future is coming along now. And you've got to be so careful. And I have a group of friends on Facebook. And those friends are chosen. Those friends ask to be my friends. And I vet them. And if they're not my friend, I wouldn't have them anywhere near me.
So trying to, with regards to Onchan then,
yeah.
One of the suggestions that's been made by Julie Edge is that because of the tensions within the actual board and between the commissioners and the staff, Onchan district commissioners aren't actually managing to deliver the successes and the improvements to service that many of the ratepayers would wish. How would you respond to that?
That's actually complete nonsense. The clerk, who's now Ross Phillips, is excellent. He's streamlined issues. He's taken a fresh look at it, as anybody would do when several clerks have left who were high calibre previously, only about 3 or 4 years ago. You know, or a couple of years ago on that. He's looked at standing orders. He's revised things. He's gripped the issues. And I've always been there. And I've said to the clerk that if he has an issue with me, please speak to me. Tell me if I'm wrong. I often say to the board, it's a point of order. This is historical issues. You need to move on. You all need sometimes to get a life. And I'm not condoning more majority of them. It's just two individuals who seem to have a grudge and an opportunity. And if I could say, Phil, I was really more than annoyed. Really, the two members, and I'll say them, Anthony Allen and Dennett Crellin, were offensive towards the incumbent chair, and I just couldn't believe. I'm sorry I never just raised my voice a little bit and said, you know, is this relevant? You're here to choose the best person for the job, and the best person for the job was chosen on Tuesday. Now, if the other two incumbents never got anything, or one did, to tell you the truth, and it's all in the public domain there, to it, so be it. That's democracy in its full form, isn't it? And, you know, if those individuals want to do something else and maybe they don't like Onchan, they can move on.
Another suggestion is that various issues that you have been at the centre of have cost the commissioners and the ratepayers. I think there was some issue relating to GDPR that was being mentioned. These suggestions are being put out there, so this is your opportunity to respond.
I did a data sub access request on myself through the local authority because I was getting annoyed that information was getting leaked out or could be in the public domain, which was wrong. And the only way to do that, like you do with central government, you do with, well, local authorities do it now and again, is you find out what information they're carrying on you. Now, I can say this for a fact because Chris Thomas was the minister for the DOI. I've never had so many redacted paper which and I went onto the banner line about it as well, which said hi, and it said quirk. The rest of the whole paper was black with Tippex stuff out. And I know, in fact, that Chris Thomas doesn't like me. Yeah, we're not friends. We're not friends on Facebook. I think he's more than an opportunist. He says things, but how much has he actually delivered? And this little group he's forming now with Julie and the other lady there is a bit of a nonsense. Instead of getting on with the job they should be doing, is putting this government in the front and say to the people that want to come to the Isle of Man, here's the opportunity. You can bring your business here. So, and I know it's national stuff, like, but that was one of the stupid things that came about. And I didn't cost, technically didn't cost the commissioners anything at all. And the decision not to have staff at a meeting was the clerk's decision. There's nothing to do with me as a local authority member. As I say, the clerk came in, he took a fresh look at how the operation of the local authority. He'd been there before behind the scenes, so he had a good opportunity to say, right, let's change a few things. Let's move things along. Do we need to talk to, and we don't now anyway, talk till 10 o'clock at night and then have to come back? We're very clinical. Well, some of us are very clinical. There's an opportunity. You get officers' reports. You make a decision. The biggest thing we ever do is actually putting the rates together. But that's done by officers. And I keep telling the members too, we're not here to micromanage the staff. We're here to make policy and push things policy through, which the policy I did do, and I'm disappointed really the commissioners have now gone back on it, is naming members in the minutes. Now, we're going back to a member said this, a member said that. Well, how much does that give to the people outside that don't come to a meeting to say, well, was that David Quirk? Was that Anthony Allen? Was that Derek Crellin or somebody else? And the other one was too, I wanted to bring forward live streaming. Now, we're in a modern world, and I go with the modern world. I've still got an old-fashioned phone, which I've left in the car, so it won't ring. But it's a modern world now, and not all people can come to a local authority meeting. There are a lot of people in the Isle of Man at the minute, and that's why I say are worrying, who are an older age, who are interested what goes on in the community, what goes on in politics nationally as well as locally.
Well, it does appear at least that you've found some common ground with Julie Edge, because I think she'd suggested that it would be a good idea to have live streaming of commissioners' meetings as well. So at least there is some glimmers of hope there. Yeah. If I were an Onchan resident and was listening to some of this, I might be thinking to myself, surely to goodness, I've elected these people to get on with delivering good stuff for the people of Onchan, whether that be MHKs or commissioners. Can they not just get on with each other and crack on and start delivering?
Yes, we tried it after Christmas there, because my wife always said to her, God bless her, she looks after me and says to me, you know, don't get in an argument, just be nice, be pleasant, smile, you know, they can't accuse you of smiling too much at somebody there. So anyway, I'm sure they can. They probably can. But at the end of the day, what I did is I was more clinical, all the time, saying, well, we need to do this for such and such a reason. You know, let's discuss it and then move on. And I think the biggest change for us, and people haven't realised it, they pick up things on social media or not so much Manx Radio, because I think sometimes Manx Radio get two sides of a story. There's always two sides of a story. And there's never any winner either way. But I was just affronted when Mr. Allen said, you need to work for the community. All the commissioners there work for the community, except two, I think, at the minute. The rest of us maybe not as wandering around the village as much, because people have jobs. I'm retired now, so I have an opportunity to do what I want. And what I'd love to, Phil, is sit on my tractor in Blackberry Lane when somebody comes down the road, waves to me and wants a chat and tell me what's going on in the village.
And your role as local authority members is to do your best for your constituents. Are you confident that that's what you're doing?
Yes, I've no doubts about that at all. The mischievous stuff is an irritant. It's like having a fly that you can't swat. You know, in the summer, they're around all the time, but you need to try and swat them to move on. But I'll probably never be friends with two of them anyway, because they've burnt their bridges as such, and maybe I've burnt their bridges that way. Because sometimes the truth hurts, but sometimes the truth has to be done in private.
So if we then move back to your ambition, which is to get more younger people involved in local authorities, it's sometimes difficult for members of the Manx public to understand how all the different political systems on the Isle of Man work. And certainly local authority elections, not that dissimilar, I think, to UK local authority elections, they tend not to get a huge turnout, and perhaps, as you're suggesting, there's not that many people prepared to put their names forward to be on the commissions. What do you think would need to change, either to encourage more people to stand, or perhaps change in terms of the terms and conditions relating to local authorities to allow more people to want to be commissioned?
Just before people think we earn a fortune, we get an allowance per meeting. So it's nothing to write home about, or to tell your bank manager you're going to have a wad of money. You have to provide your own phone, email, you have to go round to people, fuel and stuff like that. Whereas you are a parliamentarian in the national government, services are done for you. There's a full library there that'll do the researching from you. For local authorities, there's actually nothing. What does worry me really is that, and I think Manx Radio could do something about it, and other stations are available, I'll put that in too, is we need to say, what do local authorities do? How many times do you meet a year? What night do we meet? I was going to call it the council. It's a city now, isn't it? Douglas Borough Council, now it's a city. It meets in the daytime. Is that useful for people who want to stand, who can't get off work?
It certainly doesn't sound particularly helpful, but in terms of Onken, presumably you meet
night.
In the evenings.
We meet at night, yeah. But is that, we always meet on a Monday, and it's always been traditional stuff. We always meet on a Monday. And I wouldn't want to go to a daytime meeting, because I think that would exclude people who are still working to it. And sometimes my fellow commissioners, or some of them, forget. Some of them have children. Everything is not the commissioner's business. They have a family life as well. And I respect that to people who want to put their head above the parapet, put their name on a piece of paper, and stand there all day and be elected. You know, and they have great ideas. Sometimes the great ideas, when I was young, were great ideas too, but they never come to fruition. Because in life, you've got to have support. In life, you've got to have money to do things. And if you want to change tack in the Isle of Man, even in a local authority area, you need to get together. And the biggest threat for local authorities, I could say it, my party political broadcast is, I worry about this arm's length companies that we got. Housing, now we got this one, it's in the Courier, page 5, that Summerhill Views has now gone to an arm's length organisation as well. And what are they doing? What are government doing? Because we elect them to do something. I did vote for one person. I can tell you that. One person I did vote for. And say to him, I expect you to do things, A, for the community, and B, nationally, for the Isle of Man. Because if the Isle of Man doesn't develop, we're going to go backwards, aren't we?
That was Onken Commissioner David Quirk responding to some of the criticism of MHK Julie Edge and fellow Commissioner Anthony Allen. So what do you think? Can all sides work together in the future for the best interests of the people of Onken? Should they be burying their differences, or are they right to air these matters publicly? Is Manx politics too sanitised sometimes, and do we need more lively debate and discussion? Let me know your thoughts on the programme by contacting philgorn@manxradio.com and get in touch if you have any ideas for future shows. Don't forget, this programme is available as a podcast on Manx Radio's website. For now, though, I'm Phil Gorn. Goramayos an geisiachrom. Thanks for listening.